Well, we do it dozens of times a day. Turn on the tap and out flows the water we use to drink, cook our food, and take a shower. Most of the time, we don't even think about it, but maybe we should. This week, KCUR has been airing the Harvest Public Media series, Watching Our Water, The Challenge to Keep It Clean. That's been looking at the role of agriculture in our supply of clean water. But what about an urban center like Kansas City that relies on the Missouri River for its supply of drinking water? This is the same river that passes through some of the most farmed real estate in the country, picking up the chemical runoff from fields treated with fertilizers and weed killers along the way. Harvest Public Media's investigations editor Peggy Lowe contributed to this series with a look at how Kansas City copes, and she joins me now in the studio. Peggy, always good to have you.
Good morning, Steve.
Also with us is Clay Masters of Iowa Public Radio. He's been reporting on the water quality concerns of Des Moines for several years now, and he joins us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio. Clay, good morning.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Peggy, who oversees water quality for Kansas City, Missouri?
It's an entity called KC Water Services. Isn't that original? But it's, you know, it's basically our water department, what we've always, you know, have called the water department. It is in charge of the drinking water, not just of Kansas City, but they sell water to other entities. They take that water, as you said, from the Missouri River. I got to stand right above the intake where within 17 minutes, enough water runs by in the river to provide water to all of Kansas City for a day.
No kidding.
17 minutes.
I did not know that.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. How safe is our water?
Apparently pretty safe. It is, you know, they check for this runoff, as we've been talking about all week with our Harvest Public Media series. Their biggest concern is atrazine, which is like the second most common pesticide in the country and long a problem within the United States. So they say they just know that every spring the atrazine levels are going to go up. So they test every day during the spring.
Clay, can Des Moines make the same claim as to how safe the water is up there?
Well, they can make the same claim as far as what's coming out of the tap.
They can say whatever they want, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but they can say that, yes, of course, the water that they're supplying to homeowners, to businesses, are meeting the standards of clean water. The biggest concern here in Iowa and what's been brewing for some time now is the issue of nitrates that are in the water. And Peggy touched on that a little bit in her piece that aired here in Iowa this morning. But there's a lot of argument taking place about who's responsible for cleaning up the water, especially throughout the entire state, but primarily in this largest metro in the state of Iowa, Des Moines.
You know, Clay, as far back as 2013, you were following the water woes that city faced. And in a year when nitrate levels were particularly bad, you know, the main source of all that nitrate is what? What are we talking about here?
Well, largely, the finger is pointed to large-scale agriculture. Now, nitrates are a byproduct of fertilizer. It's a naturally occurring it's naturally occurring, and nitrates from farm fertilizer that gets washed into the streams and comes down to Des Moines, those are what most people and what science shows is the biggest contributor to the nitrate issue in Des Moines. We should say, too, that Des Moines, 500,000 people plus, that drinking water comes from two rivers that merge here, the Des Moines and the Raccoon River.
Down here in Kansas City then, Peggy, they're dealing with farming runoff, so much so they actually have a runoff season, as you've mentioned. What's the most common contaminant they've seen then?
I was really surprised that the guys I talked to at KC Water Services said atrazine, because it is the second most common. Glyphosate is something that we report on almost every day with Harvest. It's basically what you and I know as Roundup. And now with GMO crops, genetically modified crops, farmers can really douse their crops with Roundup to keep the weeds down. And a lot of folks think, you know, speculate that a lot of that's getting into the water. I asked specifically about glyphosate with the Kansas City Water Department, and they said they're not seeing levels above what the EPA says is safe.
Okay. That gives you pause, though, doesn't it, to hear
it
you describe that?
It does give you pause. Yeah. And what's going to be really interesting is that the USGS has been testing around here for the past few years, specifically south of Kansas City, and they are really testing significantly for glyphosate for the first time ever, they say. So I'm interested when that study comes out, and that will come out in November. So we'll have some more news for you then.
Glyphosate, again, is Roundup.
Roundup.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, there's a cost to purging the pesticides and fertilizer hazards from drinking water. Clay, can you give us a sense of what Des Moines has been spending to remove those nitrates you were talking about?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Des Moines Water Works, the utility that treats the water that goes to the homes in Des Moines, in the 1990s built what we call a denitrification system, basically state-of-the-art equipment that removes the nitrates when there are peak nitrate levels that it needs to be treated before it goes to homes and businesses, et cetera. Last year, they spent about $1.5 million on removing nitrates from the water supply in Des Moines. And this equipment, I've toured it a couple times. I've seen it. I mean, it needs repair. And that's a big concern of the Des Moines Water Works is keeping up with a growing population when you have more and more people from rural Iowa, a very rural state, but more and more of those people are migrating to the urban communities, specifically places like here in Des Moines.
Just so I understand then, Clay, are farmers using too much fertilizer and pesticides, or are they using quantities that you know, will leave enough product on their fields after rain and irrigation to get the job done?
Well, and I just to clarify here, too, a lot of the nitrates that wind up in the drainage districts that eventually make it to the rivers are going through a system of underground pipes. Think of them that way. They're going through what we call tiles. Sometimes you'll see them driving down the road, these big plastic tubes that are underneath the ground.
Right.
And farmers are primarily losing nitrate through these underground tile lines. And it's, you know, farming has become more and more intense with how much fertilizer you apply. And there are a number of environmental practices that farmers can utilize to reduce the amount of nutrients and nitrates leaving their fields through planting cover crops, which you apply in the off season that hold more of the nitrate in the ground. We talk about buffer strips, which are basically strips of grass that keep nitrates from washing into these ditches. There's also bioreactors, which is a system of wood chips that's buried underground. So there's a lot of different steps that farmers can use to take, and many farmers are, but there's a real push here in the state to try to get more and more farmers to do this. And the big question here is whether or not farmers are going to be forced to do that. And I think we'll talk about that in a moment, or if it will continue to be a voluntary effort on their behalf.
Peggy, what have Kansas City's water services noticed about those atrazine levels over the years? Have they stayed pretty constant, or is there an issue there?
I was hanging out with the lab manager for KC Water Services, and he surprised the heck out of me when he said he has seen it go down over the past 25 years.
I wouldn't expect you to say that.
I didn't expect him to say it either. He said he believes farmers, their management practices are better. And Clay, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that's the weird thing that's going on too. Nationally, we are seeing these levels go down, yet there's still these big problems with all this algae buildup in all the ponds and also hurting the water supply. So it's a very odd situation, and certainly there are problems, you know, in Des Moines and also in Toledo, where they recently, or was it 2 years ago, they found that the drinking water was unsafe, and they had the city folk drink bottled water. So it's a huge issue in water right now.
Does this surprise you that the water level, the atrazine levels are going down in Kansas City, Clay?
No, I guess based on Peggy's reporting this morning, it didn't surprise me too much. You know, we were talking about the issues here in Iowa. A lot of the folks, the farmers that I've spoken to, before they started doing these kind of environmental practices on their land, they didn't even know that they were causing any kind of a problem. You know, it was something that once they had their water tested, they were shocked because farmers like to take pride in clean fields, and nitrate is something you can't see by just looking at the water.
Mm-hmm. Back in 2013, Clay, the need to get farmers to voluntarily start reducing runoff was kicked around a bit. You quoted the Associate Dean of Extension Programs and Outreach at Iowa State as saying this: if we're still having this conversation in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, it's going to be a much more uncomfortable conversation. Well, it took only 2 years to get uncomfortable. What action did Des Moines Water Works take in 2015?
I would argue it was uncomfortable in 2013 as I was doing that reporting as well. Early 2015, the Des Moines Water Works filed a lawsuit against three counties that are overseeing 10 drainage districts in northwest Iowa. they want there to be more regulation on the way that more regulation on the pipes we were talking about a moment ago, the tiles. They want more regulation on what is leaving farm fields in the state.
The city is taking on three counties upriver and that oversee 10 drainage districts. What are those exactly?
Well, drainage districts are they were established under Iowa law to drain water from flat farm fields. I mean, if you think about northwest Iowa, this is before it was farmed. This was almost like a swamp. I mean, it was not conducive to farming. And so what they did was 100 years ago or so, they built a series of, like I said, underground tubes to control the water that leaves so that it would make some of the most fertile ground in the country to grow corn and to grow soybeans. And so what in water nerd lingo, we're talking about point and non-point polluters, largely under the Clean Water Act. Non-point polluters, which is farm runoff, stuff leaving from farm grounds, are not regulated under the Clean Water Act. Point polluters, think about your municipalities, think about your factories, those are. And the Des Moines Water Works in this lawsuit is seeking for the first time to hold those drainage districts responsible and to have them regulated so that they have to clean the water up.
Oral arguments were just heard this month by the Iowa Supreme Court. Any idea when a ruling is expected here?
Well, the Iowa Supreme Court had to figure out something before the federal lawsuit could proceed, and it was basically what the Iowa Supreme Court was trying to figure out was if these drainage districts can be held liable.
And if they can, up in a state like Iowa, that's a darn big deal, right?
It is, and there's talk. There's a lot of experts that are saying that if this, you know, if the Supreme Court gives the green light, then it goes back to the federal courts, which is expected next year to be taken up, regardless of how they rule in the state Supreme Court. This could have implications all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and you could see a big change to the way farms are regulated in the country.
That's interesting, Peggy. It should be noted that metropolitan areas aren't, you know, a blameless when it comes to runoff. What do urban and suburban residents contribute to runoff pollution?
I'm going to tell you that there is this tension between farm country and, say, the urban areas on this water issue.
Yeah.
For instance, I was up in...
Because we tend to think that it's all the farmers' fault, and the farmers think, well, there's a lot more blame to go on down in cities,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was up in Targio, Missouri, talking to a farmer, and he was saying, first of all, why would I, you know, douse my crops with anything? That's going to cost me money, you know, and I'm going to try to do it as efficiently as possible because I want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, he said, I would love to follow home some of the, say, the, you know, soccer moms who shop at Whole Foods for their GMO-free food and watch them as they go home, pull up to their suburban McMansion and see the lawn service there dousing the crap out of their yard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you go into any hardware store and there's row after row after row of big gallon jugs of Roundup.
Yeah.
You know, we have our issues too. One of the biggest issues, according to the USGS, is insecticides. So that stuff that when we hire the pest control guys, you know, so they spray our homes,
right,
or the guys who spray our yards. Insecticides are a huge problem. Like I said, they're going to be testing for glyphosate. We'll see if that's going to become a problem. There's also, as Clay just said, you know, like the point source pollution stuff, say a factory or, you know, an energy producing entity, something like that too. So we absolutely have our issues as well.
You also highlighted in your report an issue that's been a major bone of contention in Kansas City for decades: antiquated and inadequate stormwater systems. Most of us who have been around here for a while know all about it. What has that meant for the city over the years?
Yeah, you know, I've only been here 5 years, and so this was news to me.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, everybody else knew about it. In 2010, the Justice Department forced Kansas City, Missouri, to agree to a settlement. They fined them $600,000, and they said that Kansas City has to spend $2.5 billion to eliminate sewer overflows.
$2.5 billion.
Right, because sewer overflows are also the number one contaminant. In fact, in Kansas City, bacteria is one of of the biggest contaminants in the water. So, yeah. And they have to try to clean that up. So, you know, it's not sexy. When you say infrastructure, most people's eyes roll back in their heads, you know?
Right. I found it sexy.
Thank you, Clayton.
That's why you're a reporter,
that.
Clay. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they are in the midst of doing that. Just recently, the director of KC Water said in 2017 alone, they are going to spend $326 million. They have 150 water, wastewater, and stormwater infrastructure projects.
Wow.
So there's a lot going on to clean up the sewers and the pipes in Kansas City that often haven't been changed since the late 1800s.
Yeah. Well, Peggy Lowe is an investigations editor for Harvest Public Media based here at KCUR. Clay Masters, a reporter for Iowa Public Radio. Thanks for the good info, guys. Important topic.
My pleasure.
Good to talk with you.